Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. A few minutes past 4 p.m. George Mahey is here from St. Louis Magazine.
I like that. Do you pick music just because you think I'll like it? Rachel, does that have anything to do with it? Because I love The Cure. Sometimes it's just like, I would have picked this song.
You know, Dave and I kind of trade off picking the music. He picked today's music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He picks the music most of the time.
Okay.
I want to see emo George dressed up to go to a Cure show.
It's been a while. But don't put it past me. I'll do anything on a dare, for sure. Yeah,
Rachel. She's the perfect yin to my yang musically because she's younger, but she knows classic stuff because her mom and dad had her listen to it. Mm-hmm. And when you pick, like every now and then you'll pick something I don't know, but you never pick something where I'm like, eh.
Yeah, I feel like I get what is going to work on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thanks for saying that.
Oh, you're welcome. What are we talking?
So let's start off with a micro rant.
Okay.
Let's just get right down and dirty. And this happened to me. This happened to me a while ago, and I just noticed it again because it's so hot. I love ice cream. I could eat ice cream morning, noon, and night. I buy a lot of ice cream. And mm-hmm. so I look at a lot of, you know, I look at the price tags a lot. Mm-hmm. And I buy pints of this and that and the other. I don't usually buy the bigger sizes because I just don't. So I see this one. I go, boy, that's a pretty good deal, you know. And I picked up 4 or 5 pints of this particular ice cream that begins with a B and an R.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
And it was very reasonably priced. Well, then I look at it, it's a 14-ounce, quote, pint. The pint isn't 16 ounces. Everybody else's pint is 16 ounces, and this one looks like a pint.
Oh, that makes me mad.
Oh, man, I was so mad. And I looked at a few others.
How can they even legally call it?
Well, they don't call it.
Oh,
they're just
used to it.
And you're looking at
it. Like, oh, that's a pint.
Yeah. And it looks like everybody else's pint. It doesn't look any different. You know, they'll put that fake bottom in it, and it looks like a pint. And then I basically led up to it. It started with the 14-ounce, quote, pint beers served in that pint glass. Yeah. That isn't a pint.
Yeah.
If you put it next to a pint, you see it's not a pint. But if you see it sitting there, oh, there's a nice pint of beer. Mm-hmm. You know, looks like a pint. It's priced like a pint, but it's not a pint. Same thing with the ice cream thing. It's just, there should be... It just makes me mad. There should be a law against it. That's just one of those sizes that you kind of know. I mean, you can change cereal box sizes all day long, and I never know the difference because they're all different and they're all packed, you know, however. But
shrinkflation to me is simultaneously the least American and most American thing to do, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. That's a perfect case of shrinkflation. But, you know, in my micro rant, I said, you know what? You thought we didn't notice, but we did. And you know what? I don't like it, and I'm not going to go there, period. So not that BR needs my business, but they're not going to get it just because it's out of principle.
Good for you. I like a man who has ice cream principle.
Yeah.
It's like having sherbet morals.
Sorbet guidelines.
There you go.
No, that's not good.
So the one I'm going to do next week is, this happened too this week, and I know we've talked about this, but it just keeps happening, so I'll keep talking about it. You're sitting there at the table. You get the check. They bring the tablet to you. You know, here it is. You know, you don't get a paper check. Just kind of here. You examine everything that you had for dinner on this tablet, and you know, go ahead and push the buttons and tip a quarter. Anyway, this I could practically feel this person, you know, breathing down my neck, right, waiting for me to make those decisions. And I looked up at her like, are you just going to stand there? And she gave me that look like, no words were said, but yes, I am. And I went, okay, so I'm, you know, you're sitting there trying to figure out the tip, trying to, you know, check all the food items. It just makes me nervous. I want to just say, can you just go like take a 30-second lap and come back and I'll be done. But in the meantime, I'm my blood pressure's going up here. So it makes me very uncomfortable when those kind of things happen. So servers, just, you know, don't hover. Just give us some space, for gosh sakes. If you got to use those damn tablets, give us some space. All right, rant's over.
All right, Dave had to step out for just a second, but George, I wanted to ask you about this new place that opened up in Kirkwood this week. Fox's Finest. Am I getting the name right?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us, like, what is this concept? I know it's not a restaurant, but it's restaurant adjacent. What's going on?
This was a really big thing in Kirkwood, and I guess the I'm not sure why. I guess I am sure why. It's a gourmet grocery store, and it's a seafood counter, and it's a premium meat market, and they're butchering whole animals there. I mean, it's not like these guys are just buying stuff and putting it in their case.
Okay.
They're getting whole animals in there and doing their thing. They've almost have overkill as far as who they've hired and what they're doing there. They've got two chefs and two butchers, which is a lot for a little retail store in the middle of Kirkwood. So they're getting their seafood from, you know, they're trying to be very careful where they source it, and they're trying to bring in as much as they can themselves and not have to buy it from the wholesaler. So you're going to see a lot of whole fish there. You're going to see some things that you might not see in other stores. And the whole reason that people are making a big deal out of it, if you think about it, there aren't that many places to buy fresh seafood. I mean, there's butcher shops all around town, but there aren't any seafood places per se. I buy all my fresh seafood at Stars, and they do an incredible job. But besides Stars, there aren't that many, you know, you can buy it at Chinook's, you can buy it at Whole Foods. But if you want some really good fresh fish and want to know that it hasn't been sitting in that case for 3 or 4 or 5 days, it's tough. It's a gamble. It's a crapshoot.
I'm wondering, like, no pun intended here, but what is the appetite for this in the St. Louis area? Have you spoken to people, or have you spoken to the people at Fox's Finest as far as people coming to the store? Like, what's the excitement level there from the community?
It just opened a couple days ago, so it's you really can't gauge it yet. But,
uh-huh.
But so far, I mean, people are they're going crazy. They're going nuts. And the thing that it's run by a father and son, and these guys are totally dialed in to. They were in a business where customer service and hospitality was a big thing, and they got graded on it, and you know, a lot of their business and business plans were predicated on how popular they were with their clients. So they know this game. Mm-hmm. So what they're going to do is they're going to do a lot of these guys. The butchers are going to be out there talking to people. They're going to be out there sampling this. Here, have some of this. Try some of this porchetta. You know, you won't believe how good this is. And there's going to be a lot of that kind of stuff. I know they're going to be, sample heavy, as they say. You know, you don't have to go to Costco on Saturday anymore. You can go to
Don't go to Costco on Saturday, just tell me. Trust me. Yeah. Find a day during the week. Don't go on Saturday.
You can go to Fox's Finest. So I mean, that's their thing. They've got, you know, they'll have recipe cards and cooking tips, and they'll go, you know what, if you don't mind me saying so, you know, you just bought that ribeye, and you know, I would, if it was me, I would put this rub on it, and right. I'd serve it with this and do it with that. And here's recipe cards for the whole thing. Or we've got some great, you know, potato salad in that case that would really go well with that Wagyu ground beef you just bought. So they're trying to put meals together for people and trying to make it easy if you want it to be easy. And I just think the whole... you know, a lot of the concept is predicated on education and hospitality. And I think that's, especially in a, you know, neighborhood market, that's exactly what you want. You want to be, you know, you want to put the Cheers mentality to work in that kind of an environment.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing. And I think they're open Wednesday through Sunday. It's called Fox's Finest. I can't remember the seafood meat market and something else. And the two guys that that own it, it's a father and son. I think both their middle names are Fox. So that's the
cool.
Genesis,
I mean,
of the
what
name.
You're describing, it sounds like a third place too, right? Like you can, like if you're just getting into cooking or you've been a lifelong enthusiast, like you can kind of go in and find a sense of community there. And some
that's really
some
what they want. They want it to be one of those kind of places. And they've got some, you know, he goes, we didn't want to alienate people. You know, we've got Wagyu steaks that are just, you know, you can hardly afford to buy them. It's a true splurge. But they've also got, you know, they kind of have it, I guess, in this little gradation up the meat case. At one end is the really expensive stuff, and you work your way down. You know, on the other end is the ground beef. And in the middle, some really good, you know, it's prime meat. It's not like it's, you know, you're getting stuff that's of dubious quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I got to take a break here and just do a sidebar. I don't think we've ever talked about this. Do you know, have you ever thought how meat is graded? Did we talk about this? I don't think we did.
I've thought about it. I don't think we've ever talked about it.
So, you know, there's Prime and there's Choice and there's Select and you see it all, different beats in different places. And I knew there were USDA inspectors and I figure these guys are like sitting at a counter and these, right. and these big sides of beef come by and they're stamping them with, you know, something.
That's what I picture.
That's what I picture.
Nope, no way.
Well, you know how they do it? These sides of
beef.
They
flip a coin?
Damn near. These guys are hanging, right? And they're going slowly by. And these guys make a cut between the 12th and the 13th rib, which is where the ribeye is, which is indicative of the marbling in the rest of the cow. And they look at this one piece and they go, and it takes them about 2.5 seconds. Hmm. Boom, prime, choice, select, next one, boom, boom, boom. And it literally... So they're judging this whole side of beef on one quick peek at the ribeye. I had no idea. I take more time looking, checking my steak out at Schnucks than these guys do with the whole side of beef.
Yeah.
I just thought, I said, I had no idea. I thought it was more work.
What do you think is the biggest break between this grade and that grade?
A lot of times it's not great at all. I mean, you know, apparently the line between choice and prime is blurring a little bit. And I don't know about select. I don't see much of that. That's kind of, you know, school grade. And
I know Jeff Dill, when he was at Capitol, and I won't remember the ratios, but I remember that they would take like the top 2% of cattle and then they'd send half of it back. Like even that top, they would get it in. They'd go like, we're only taking this.
Yeah, and supposedly prime is about 5% of the, you know, of the supply. So it's pretty limited to begin with. And again, as there's droughts and shortages, I think the maybe these guys, maybe they blur that line a little bit. Like, you know, we got to put some more prime out here. And when in fact it could be choice on another day. But The what I thought and what it is, as far as that goes, it's two totally different things. So anyway, more information.
I would never say no to a Wagyu steak, but the Wagyu that I've had, it's like an acquired taste.
Yeah.
It's a little soft.
Yeah. There's a lot of fat in it, and it's literally melting your mouth because of all the fat. But it's like, it's not for everybody, and it's this dry aged meat is the same way. It's got that grassier, gamier... And people think, oh my gosh, this is, you know, it's $40-$50 a pound. It's got to be great. And they, at the end of the day, they'd rather have the wet age stuff because it tastes better to them.
Before we let you go, we have to talk about this. We have a pork steak denier in the room.
Say it ain't so.
I wouldn't say denier, more like hater.
Well, that's even more emphatic.
You know what, George? He's not from here, so he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
How about Detroit people are.
No, they're so snobby.
Have you
pork.
Had one from Beastcraft Barbecue?
No.
Okay. There's my mission. I'm going to bring one in, and it's a he serves it with a spoon, I think, because you don't need a knife to cut it, and it's spoon tender, and it's very thick, and he's got a specific way to cook it, a specific way to sauce it. But this is David.
So basically, I just need to have the best version of it to it's good.
Because
I'm sure the best version is good.
Well, I mean, and there's a lot of backyard versions that are great too. But I think if you start at the top and go, okay, this is what it can taste like, and then everything after that is just a comparison.
It's the same cut as a pork butt. Like from pulled pork.
Right.
It's just prepared differently.
It's a steak. Right. Yeah, they just cut it and cut that pork butt into steaks. But it's funny
I'm not a big pork chops guy either. Like, if it, for whatever reason, everything pork, it's better when it's slow cooked and it's, you know, pulled pork or something, some version of that.
Yeah, well... chops are good, you know. It can't beat a good pork chop, you know. But boy, you got to cook that right because they're overcooked about 90% of the time.
I think that's the problem. Is everything I've run into is just
that's the problem, and I don't eat them out very often because I've had too many bad experiences. And so, let's cook you another one. Well, that'll take a half an hour. I don't think so. You know, I got stuff to do here. So, All right. Pork steaks next week. Pork steak night. Pork steak afternoon. Well, that's what we'll just book it, and then we'll see.
All right.
And we'll get the honest opinion, and then next week Provel cheese.
Love it.
Oh, don't do that one.
Love it.
Next, good on a salad though.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. Yep, Have a good weekend. Thank you. Welcome back, DGS. We always leave you with something on a Friday afternoon that we thought was pretty funny. And what do we go with today, Andrew?
The beginning when we...
Yeah.
Our little fight.
Well, we've done so many funny things today.
Yeah.
Where do you pick? Where do you even begin? Can you do Caitlin Clark story in 1 minute?
Yeah, so did you guys, I think we talked about it off the air, but if you guys missed it, the columnist for USA Today, Nancy Armour, wrote a piece, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but you guys saw the lines, yeah. You guys heard it. It basically comes across like Caitlin Clark shouldn't complain about not getting calls because racism exists.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's the argument.
It puts black and queer players in danger.
Because she complains about not getting calls, which is, and then she like used the example of Emmett Till.
Yes.
Because the WNBA All-Star Game's in Chicago, Emmett Till from Chicago, and there's currently a, what's the right term for it? There's a memorial there that's like what Emmett Till would be like if he hadn't been killed and all. And it, you know, that's obviously meaningful, but to drag a basketball story into something like that, yeah, and connect it to lynchings when Caitlin Clark's not doing anything that other athletes don't do. They all complain about calls. Michael Jordan complained nonstop. Larry Bird complained nonstop. Like, that's what star players do, especially in basketball. And I cannot get over this. Whether you're a liberal-leaning person, conservative-leaning person, why can't this just be basketball?